Week's parasha is Va'era, meaning and I appeared. I've given this particular parasha a title, Lying Lips and a Hard Heart. It's interesting, the book of Exodus, if the Hebrew name is Shemot, names, where do we get Exodus from? And it's from the Greek. Exo means out, to go out or out, and hodos is the way. So Exodus from Greek means the way out. And given some of the stuff that happens in the book of Exodus, it's way out. And Va'era covers chapters 6 through 9. God tells Moses that whereas he had appeared to the patriarchs by the title El Shaddai, God Almighty, he was now revealing himself to Moses and Israel by his personal name. A name we are no longer certain how to pronounce correctly. It is comprised of the four letters Yud, He, Vav, and another He, consequently known as the Tetragrammaton. Again, from Greek, tetra meaning four, and gramma meaning letters or writing. Some mistakenly pronounce it Jehovah, which is unlikely because there's no hard G sound in Hebrew. Some pronounce it Yahweh, which is at best speculative. Then, of course, there are the so-called sacred name groups who think that they alone have it right. They don't, and none of them have studied Hebrew. But our people decided long ago that rather than risk mispronouncing the sacred name, we would simply say his name. We continue to use Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, but we speak it aloud as Adonai, and some in the Orthodox community would say Hashem, the name. Adonai assures Moses that he remembers his covenant with Abraham to give the land of Canaan to his descendants, and that he is keenly aware of the suffering of his people at the hands of the Egyptians. He sends Moses to announce to the Israelis that God will accomplish their deliverance from Egypt and will bring them into that promised land. Moses goes and announces it, but he finds the people despondent and hard-pressed to believe. Nevertheless, God was going to deliver his people, whether they believed or not, and so he sends Moses to Pharaoh. Now, suddenly, the narrative is interrupted, and it's interrupted by a genealogy, and it's a genealogy focused on the tribe of Levi. And two particular individuals from that tribe, Moses and Aaron. Why this abrupt insertion of a genealogy? Because it was necessary to establish the credentials of the two men who together were going to lead the entire nation. In ancient Israel, you didn't get to square one without being able to give proper ancestral lineage. In chapter 7, God tells Moses that he will harden Pharaoh's heart so that Pharaoh will refuse to let Israel go. And God will use this opportunity to display his signs and wonders in Egypt. The idea that God hardens a man's heart and then judges him for his actions may make some people a little uncomfortable, but we're told why it would be this way. With these words, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the sons of Israel from their midst. In fact, God's authority and power were so undeniable that when our people left Egypt, a multitude of non-Israelis accompanied us. Find that in chapter 12. When God judges, it is often with a redemptive purpose. In fact, the prophet Isaiah foretold that the Egyptians will one day worship with the Israelis side by side, Isaiah 19. So Moses and Aaron, who are now 80 and 83 years old, respectively, don't tell me you're too old to change or to take on new responsibilities. Moses and Aaron go and confront Pharaoh. Aaron throws down the staff and it becomes a serpent. But Pharaoh's magicians are able to duplicate the sign. So Pharaoh's heart is hardened. counterfeit miracles? Yes. So don't be impressed just because you see some show of power or some supernatural sign. Listen to what is being proclaimed. Make sure it's in keeping with the scriptures and that the one performing the miracle is a genuine servant of God and is of good character. Okay, I'm off of that soapbox. The next day, Moses and Aaron confront Pharaoh again in the name of the Lord. Moses' staff touches the waters of the Nile River, and the Nile turns to blood. But once again, Pharaoh's magicians duplicate the sign. So he again hardens his heart. They wave the staff over the rivers and reservoirs as well, and all the waters of Egypt turn to blood. And all the fish died in the Nile, and the Nile became foul. In chapter 8, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh again in the name of the Lord, calling on him to let Israel go. Pharaoh refuses, and now the land is smitten with frogs. Everywhere, in the house, on the bed, in the oven. And the magicians are also able to make frogs. And I'm sure Pharaoh's going, great, thanks, guys. More frogs. Yeah. Pharaoh summons Moses and Aaron, promising that if they will entreat the Lord to remove the frogs, he will let Israel go. Moses even lets Pharaoh name the time for it to happen so that he might know that it was from the Lord. And sure enough, at that very time, all the frogs, except for those in the Nile, die out and disappear. But Pharaoh hardens his heart again, and so it continues. Chapters 8 and 9 chronicling 5 more plagues, gnats, swarms of insects, the death of Egypt's cattle, horrible sores, boils on the skin of the Egyptians, hail destroying both crops and what little livestock remained. Each time, Pharaoh promising to let Israel go, and each time hardening his heart and reneging on his word once God removed the plague. Pharaoh bears responsibility for the great suffering of the Egyptian people. Had he humbled himself before the God of Israel, there might have been blessing instead of plague. A disturbing truth highlighted in this parasha is the capacity of fallen human beings to harden their hearts and to dismiss evidence that's right before their eyes. Miracles alone rarely produce lasting faith. Those who are dedicated to their unbelief will always manage to find some other explanation. We must also learn from Egypt's painful object lesson that Adonai alone is God, and that all the gods of the peoples are idols. And hopefully it will not require plagues to bring our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, our family members to a saving knowledge of God and of Messiah Yeshua. Finally, we need to learn to honor our commitments. We need to be people of our word. Yeshua declared, "Let your yes be yes." God's people are expected to maintain honesty and faithfulness in all our dealings. Pharaoh was dishonest, but then again, Pharaoh was not one of God's people.